glad you've joined us as we have conversations exploring the dichotomy of struggle and joy. So we are here today. This is our first time having a guest.
Woo-hoo!
And our guest
so excited.
Is one of our favorite people.
It is.
I love how, I think it's Annie F. Downs on hers. She says that all of her guests are either her friends.
Right.
Or someone she wants to be a friend with.
Yes.
And so I think that's a really good plan.
Yeah.
But Beth is one of our friends. Beth is actually more than a friend for me. She is she is family. We share a grandson.
Yes, we do.
And he's an awful cute little thing. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so we invited Beth to come. Beth Anderson. She is she's funny. I like
I have to be funny.
You don't have to be anything, but she is funny. She's a licensed counselor, correct? Aren't you?
Certified, not licensed.
Certified counselor. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She's also a coach, personal life coach.
Mm-hmm.
And currently she works at Proverbs 31 Ministries.
Yeah.
Which makes her way more professional than us.
No. I think Proverbs 31 Ministries, other than Disney, is the happiest place on earth.
Oh. Mm-hmm. And that's good.
You have no idea. Just Proverbs 31 and what that does to my body.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean?
She's my nemesis.
The Proverbs 31 woman.
Oh, my word, yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, no, yeah.
Mm. You are the weeds.
I am so the weeds because I strived for so long. Mm-hmm. To be the Proverbs 31 woman. Hmm. And then when I threw the word perfection out of my vocabulary, then she became my nemesis. And then I had a huge, great experience in Israel regarding that.
But. Mm-hmm. Well, there's so much to learn about her because she's not perfection.
No, she's not. Yeah.
She's the woman that her husband and family honors. And you're the woman that your husband and family honors.
He really does.
Yeah.
I'm very blessed that way. You're right.
So you're a Proverbs 31 woman, whether you like
it
or not.
I'm not going to buy into that yet.
All right. I'll work on you.
Okay.
Well, I love that you said it's the happiest place on earth. That's really cool. That must be a great, great way to go to work.
It is.
Yeah.
That's awesome. All right. So today, topic that we wanted to talk about is time with God. It's the beginning of the year. Whether or not you all are listening to this beginning of the year or not, I don't know. It depends. But
it is for us, and we're going for it.
It's the beginning of the year. Yeah. And a lot of times people are always trying to improve things in their life. And it's a topic that's pretty, I think, really important. And I really wanted us to do this today with Beth because when I think of people in my life that I know that time with God has been an important part of their life. You are one of them.
Mm. It's been life-changing. It really has. My whole way of looking at life and how I cope with life, I think, is different. I know where to find the answers. I don't always go to where the answers are. Sometimes I try to do things on my own. Mm-hmm. But I know when I start the day off in my quiet time and reading scripture that I can handle things better.
So was there a time that you didn't do that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I actually started doing that one summer after the school year, because I used to work at a school. Mm-hmm. And I was volunteering for Proverbs 31 online Bible studies. And Melissa Taylor, the director of online Bible studies, mm-hmm. said, you know, this summer, let's start reading the Bible. You know, we could start in John. And so I started doing that, just reading a chapter a day all summer. And then later on, I was talking to a student about that, and he wanted to do it too. Mm-hmm. And so I reread John at that point. Mm-hmm. And every day we would tweet something to each other about one of the verses in the chapters that we had read. Uh-huh. And that was just really special. But anyway, I just started reading different books of the Bible, and usually about a chapter a day. And then now I do the First Five app. There are a lot of different apps out there. Okay. But Proverbs 31, another push for that, has a free app. And so usually it's one chapter a day. Today we just finished Isaiah. Monday we start Ezekiel. And by the end of the summer, we will have finished the whole Bible in about 4.5 years. So it's not read the Bible through in a year and you've got to get so much done at once. It's just been basically one chapter a day and then reading a teaching on that chapter. And that's kind of the core of what I do every day. I do other things too.
Okay, yeah, I want to know what it looks like. I'm such an experiential person. So, and I know a little bit about what it looks like from the times I stayed in your house, but that's beside the point. But what is it, what is that experience like? And when is it? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. What is your time with God? What does it look like? And where are you?
Sometimes it's really short, but I love it when I have time for it to be longer. And at the house that we live in now, I have different places that I sit. I don't have one specific seat. Sometimes, like during Christmas time, I sat in the front room and brought the little coffee table close and put my feet up and looked at the Christmas tree. Usually I'll sit in the living room and recline the seat back. Mm-hmm. I have a plant room, and sometimes I sit in there with pillows and a blanket, and I always have a hot drink. That's a must. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I do that. And so I usually start with the chapter. I'll read the Bible first.
Is it in the morning?
It's in the morning, okay. First thing. I'll come downstairs early. It's still dark out. It's usually between 5:30 and 6. Mm-hmm. Lately, it's been closer to 6. But so I'll just do that. And then I've got other books and other devotionals on the YouVersion on your phone. Mm-hmm. There's so many to choose from. Mm-hmm. So do that. And then books. Sometimes journaling. I really want to get more into journaling after I read.
So when you say journaling, just journaling about your, what is that like?
Maybe journaling about what I've read.
Okay.
And maybe how I'm going to use it during the day or the week or what it meant to me. I haven't quite figured that part out. Once in a while I will journal, but not very often. And then praying, you know, always trying to set my mind on God and asking him to. Hot drink, praying, reading. And reading, and sometimes journaling, but not that often.
So you don't have to answer this, because I want to respect boundaries, but what you read this morning in finishing Isaiah, mm-hmm. what was the message to you from this morning?
Let me think. It ends kind of violently. Can we look?
Sure.
Look at it? Okay. All right.
For anything.
Papers wrestling.
And when they're Bible papers, they're even better. Okay, so
Isaiah.
Okay,
so there's 66 chapters.
Okay.
And it's really kind of scary at the very end.
Okay.
There's, in fact, I put a question mark there. Verse 24 says, "And as they go out, they will see the dead bodies of those who have rebelled against me. For the worms that devour them will never die, and the fire that burns them will never go out. All who pass by will view them with utter horror." I'm thinking, oh my goodness.
That's awful.
That's awful. I know.
I'm not sure I want to start my day that way.
No, I know. Ooh. So the chapter is, you know, kind of lengthy. I mean, even though it's 24 verses, it's kind of lengthy.
Yeah.
And at the beginning, Isaiah, the prophet, is saying that the Lord says, "Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool." And he's talking about how people have turned away from him.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to bless those that haven't turned away from him. But then there are others that what they do is not acceptable. And so it's you know, talking about that. I mean, there's more to read. I just read, "And the sound of weeping and crying will be heard in it no more." That was in 65. But there's just, "Rejoice with Jerusalem And things are going to be good for the people who follow God, but then they're going to see mm-hmm. what happens to those who close their eyes to God and turn away from God. And all through the Bible, one of the things that I have just loved is seeing things in the Old Testament that point to Jesus in the New Testament. And I think that's one of the things that has been really exciting about getting into the Bible and reading. And so there are lots of hard passages like that one. That was really hard to read.
So what do you do with that?
Well,
because my tendency would be to just kind of ignore that. And let's just look at the happy parts.
Well, and that's where the teaching part comes in. And let me just open that so I can reference it. The author today said, happily ever after is only found in Jesus. So basically, you know, we need to follow God. Okay. He
There's
sets.
Your happy part.
There's my happy part.
Right.
I like happily ever after.
When we follow him, blessings follow.
Yeah.
The verse that she concentrates on in the teaching is verse 18, for I know their works and their thoughts, and the time is coming to gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and shall see my glory. So it's good news, but it just ends really like that ending really stuck with me today.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and that's the reality of life without him.
It really is.
Yeah, that's true.
And so then I that makes me think, and I could journal about this, about why do I even try to live life without him? Why do I try to do things on my own? Why don't I trust him? Why don't I, you know, be still and know that he is God?
Exactly what we're talking about, the beauty of being with him, being in relationship with him, spending time with him. Or the other, you know, when you, at least I personally think of, you know, obviously life is not always, well, let's be real, part of it's my personality and part of it's life, but there have been times when, you know, I'm not spending as much time with him. But I still feel like I'm in relationship with him. And, you know, for those who are completely without that relationship at all, you know, it's pretty ugly. It's pretty dark. It can be very dark.
It can be. Yeah. And I think that, you know, we're brought up as churchgoers. And so we do what we're supposed to do. We follow their traditions. We know that we're supposed to be set apart, that we're special. But what do we do with that? If we don't do anything with that, then what good is it really?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are afraid to get started and are afraid to commit to something because they don't feel smart enough or they don't feel... you know, like they can do it, but just start. Like starting in John was just absolutely beautiful because it's about Jesus. And then really it makes you want more. It's like when Jesus tells the lady at the well, you know, I've got living water. It really is. It's like you can't get enough. You want more all the time. There's so many things to learn.
So what do you do if you're the type of person who, and I was like this for a long time, when you open the, it's like when I read the Bible, I don't get anything out of it. Like, it's just words to me. There's no impact. So help that person.
One of the things I did was buy a study Bible. So this one that I have today is an NLT. And it's, so it's very easy to read. And there's study notes at the bottom. And that really was helpful to me. It made it more interesting and made... It showed other places for me to look up things if I was interested and wanted to. But there's all kinds of resources out there that help you. And just getting started, I think, is just the first step. I think so often we try to do things perfectly, that word that you don't use.
My favorite.
Yeah. And we can't do that. It's just not doable. And so I think I... keep doing it because I'm curious and I want to learn more and it's just fascinating.
So you've talked about it making a big difference in your life. How would you contrast times when you weren't spending time with him and times when you were? Like, how has it changed your life?
I think I'm a nicer person.
Nicer is good. Nicer. answer is really good.
You know, all those proverbs that tell you not to, you know, have a biting tongue and all that. Yeah. So I think one of my little mantras is pause and pray. And so I'll often do that, and I think that has made me a nicer person. Hmm. I don't always do that, and then the beast comes out in me.
No, I'm just kidding. Oh, my word.
I try to be good.
Is there somebody in your life, like, that you, like I told you, one of the reasons I wanted to talk with you about this is because I've watched you. I would go and stay at Rick and Beth's house some when I worked at the school too. And, you know, every morning you were up with your hot beverage in the living room.
Post them.
In your one little spot. And you had all your stuff there. And you would have your quiet time. And to this day, just the smell of toast. There's sometimes, like, when I go make toast, I think of you. And I think of, because you would often have toast, or you'd have English muffin toasted.
Oh, did I? I don't even remember that.
Or you would have yogurt with blueberries.
I was going to say, now it's yogurt and blueberries.
maybe it was me that had the toast. And you know, whatever. I still think of you when I do that. But honestly, that's been a big inspiration for me. I'm not very good at anything on a regular basis. Like, you know, just a certain time every day. That's mm-hmm. not my strong suit. But thinking of that, watching you and knowing you, that's been inspirational to me. So has anybody else been really inspirational to you in this process?
Jesus.
Good answer.
No, seriously, when we went to Israel, I was on the same trip as Kim, and we were by the Sea of Galilee and up on the little mount where probably Jesus did the Sermon on the Mount. Mm. Right underneath that area, there's a cave, the Cave of Eremos. Mm. And that very likely was there when Jesus was there. And that very well could have been where in Mark it says he went to a solitary place. He might have been in there. And you could just overlook the Sea of Galilee. And that was my spot. And I thought, wow, I could really come here every morning and praise God here. What a beautiful spot. And that just, it made me feel closer. It made me want to do more.
Sorry, I just went there.
Yeah, wasn't that
all that silence because I was gone. I was in Israel.
There was a bench in there. I don't think that was there when Jesus was there.
But I
did you sit
that
on the bench and think mm-hmm. about whether yeah. Jesus might have been in that little cave?
I was not in a good mental space when I was there. Upon reflection, I go to a good mental space, but mm-hmm. while I was there, it was very mm-hmm. frenzied, so it's a different experience.
All right.
But it was something.
So what about you, Kim? What is your time? What does your time with God look like?
Well, it's actually very similar okay. to Bess. I love the morning. I love the morning when nobody mm-hmm. is up. And it is dark outside, and I'll make a hot drink, and then I usually have like a stack of things. Like I do have a journal, because I like to start, and I call it prayer, call it my first thoughts. Mm-hmm. I don't really care what you want to call it. Sometimes I'll use the word Jesus, and sometimes I say you because I'm actually interacting. But I write down how I feel, like, am I tired? Am I feeling hopeful for the day? Whatever. And then recently what I've been doing is I have chosen, and I got this from you, Beth Grissom, I have chosen a topic, a word in the Bible, and I study every verse that is associated with that word. So for 2020, I chose the word beauty.
Ooh.
So I am looking up every reference to beauty, beautiful. I might have to like broaden that to like splendor or so that's where I've started. I barely started. And then I'll write down any questions that come to my mind or I'll dialogue with God about that and what that means for me and how I can do things differently. I don't just read the Bible. I'll also read a side book. It may not be it's not necessarily a devotional book. Devotional books don't grab me.
Okay.
But right now, I don't know what his name is. It's spelled C-H-A-I-M. Last name, Bentora. That's not his name. It's his pen name. But he writes beautiful, beautiful word studies and scriptural studies. So I read those, and they just fill my soul.
Is he a Jewish writer?
He is a Jewish teacher. Mm-hmm. He teaches Hebrew. He's an American like you and me. Uh-huh. Well, I'm not American, but...
She's Canadian.
But yeah, he's a Jewish... He teaches Hebrew. And what the stuff that he digs... I like to dig. Like, give me a shovel and let me dig into all the nuances. Let me figure out the deepest meaning that I can find. Because that's just, to me, that's just rich and it's just beautiful. I didn't always do it that way. When I first started, which I've only been doing time in the morning for the last 10 years. I'm 52 years old. I started 10 years ago, and probably in the last 2 years, it's more of a daily thing. Hmm. But I did Beth Moore Bible studies because I didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. I had no idea how to study the Bible. I had, like, completely clueless. Now, I watched my husband for 20 years get up and read and do the things. But I would just do a Beth Moore, and I would do, you know, day one of this study, and on Sundays I'd watch the video, and then I'd do the next week, or it might take me 2 or 3 weeks to get 1 week done. Mm-hmm. But that's how I started. But now, I'm in love with my Bible. Mm. And then I'll finish with a little prayer.
What Bibles? You mentioned you... Primarily, is the NLT, is that what
I
you
use
said?
The NLT and the ESV usually.
Which is the New Living Translation, is
yes.
that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what do you
I use the Christian Standard Bible, okay. which is second generation of the Holman Christian Standard. I have Holman Christian Standard at home, and then I just got a new Bible that is the Christian Standard Bible.
Okay.
The Voice is also a beautiful translation because it doesn't just use biblical language scholars, but it also uses musicians and it uses English teachers so that the real the nuances of what the original language says is brought to us.
All right, so you ladies are talking and I'm starting to get intimidated. No,
okay,
but
sorry.
But you know what she was saying, all the, you know, digging deep into the words. Mm-hmm. And I love the thought of doing that. Mm. When a teacher uses some Hebrew words, I love that. Mm-hmm. But I'm a rush through and get it done a lot of times person.
Okay.
And so I don't take that extra time. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing it to just check it off my list because I am getting something from it.
Right, of course.
But I'm not digging as deep as she was talking.
Okay.
About, which is a beautiful
thing. Yeah, well, I have Blue Letter Bible open, blueletterbible.org. I have that open right beside me because I don't like to have my iPad open because it distracts. But if I want to look something up, I'm going and I'm going to the original language and I'm seeing what it says and I'm looking at other places.
That's awesome.
Because I just want to know the depth.
Well, you know, love that. When I said you guys are intimidating me, in some ways you are, but at the same time, I'm just thinking from a I'm thinking if I was hearing this back, I'm a little bit different place now, but back when, say, my kids were little.
Yes.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? I would have just thrown in the towel and said, forget it.
Me too.
I can't do that.
Me too.
So I just won't.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so speak to that a little bit. Like, what was it like when your kids were young? And or what would you suggest for someone who's in that space? Like, if you know I can't study the original language, or I don't have, you know what I'm saying? Like,
there's no time.
My Bible friends.
Yes, exactly. And little lad.
You're speaking of children publications here for those who don't know what those are.
Seriously. Yeah, seriously. And playing with felts, you know, the little Bible story felts. Mm-hmm. That's what it was.
Yeah.
I didn't even have quiet time when my kids were little. Like,
I didn't even pray. I didn't either. And I can remember one time, you know, really wanting to get into it and trying, and it just, you know, was blowing up. I mean, I just couldn't seem to do it. And I remember literally praying, okay, God, I'm reading clip, clop, one small donkey hoof as he slowly climbed the last hill. You're going to have to get me something out of this. You know what I'm saying?
Like, funny.
But being intentional and saying, okay, God, in this moment,
this
is all I have. Like, I'm giving you every bit that I possibly can muster, and it's just reading my child a Bible story. So how do I, you know, and you're going to have to give me something in this. And I would invariably, there'd be something, do you know what I'm saying, in that story that would encourage me or whatever. So, you know, I'm of the opinion it doesn't matter how small. Does that make sense?
Yes.
It doesn't matter how little.
So right.
If it's a conversation with him while you're driving the car,
right,
or in the shower.
Or not even a conversation. Mine, I used to just listen to music. I would, on my drive into grad school, I would just 30 minutes of Christian music, and that was my time with God.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Or there are tons of podcasts now.
Well, now,
if you're driving.
Exactly.
Or
exactly.
I remember sermons. I remember, you know, somebody gave me some old cassette tapes. You kids probably don't know what those are. But but I remember going,
we're that old.
Driving to grad school and listening to some sermons that were, you know, a speaker that I really respected and could learn from. But one of the verses I wrote down, James 1:5, this has been a really good one for me. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. So, like you said, when you ask God, you know, help me get something out of this, that's all we have to do is ask, and he gives it to us. And his word is alive. I really believe that.
Well, that is also scriptural.
Yes.
You can believe it. And if it's scriptural, it kind of
Hebrews 4:12
says, the word of God.
The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. So, I mean, these are promises that I have really clung to throughout. If I ask God, he will help me. He will give me wisdom. All I have to do is ask. And this is real stuff. It's not a fairy tale.
That's right.
It's not a Disney movie.
That's right.
It's real.
That's right.
It's truth.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So thinking of the young mom or the one who's just, or the professional woman who's just so busy, do you know what I'm saying? Like the person who maybe hasn't been doing this. Why is it worth trying? Do you know what I'm saying? Like what? I guess because I'm thinking, well, I'll just share a little bit, you know, it's really easy to, in those moments of exhaustion and the craziness of life, either you're just doing it for the checklist, like you mentioned, or you're doing it because you feel like you have to. Maybe those are the same thing. I don't know. And I guess, I don't even know where my question is in this. Does that mean, like, is it still worth it to do it even if you're just checking the list? Or should you stop doing it if you're just checking the list and try something different? Do you know what I'm saying? Or what's the point? Why should they even be considering it?
I think it's different.
Struggling through it.
I think it's different for everyone. And what's right for me isn't absolutely right for someone else. And so you have to experiment and see what works for you. And and I think that if you ask God, then he will direct you. He kind of guides you. And There are so many more resources out there now than there were. Like I said, the YouVersion app. I mean, those things are quick reads. There's a devotional and sometimes just one scripture that goes with it. So pick a topic that you like and find something to read about that topic.
Yeah. And I think it's also so good to think that, to remember it, one size doesn't fit all. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like the,
yeah.
I agree with you. I'm in love with this Bible, and mine happens to be NIV Life Application, because I like life application, finding that in my Bible reading. But at the same time, sometimes listening to either a podcast or a sermon or listening to music, you know, is more in line with what I have either time for or my, what my soul is needing. Music for me is a big one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, mm-hmm. like that. In fact, Chris bought me one of the little Bluetooth speakers just so that I could have wherever I was, wherever I choose to move to sit for my mm-hmm. worship time, I can take it and listen to really good, really good music. Because that means the world to me. That's part of my worship time. But
what does that look like for you? Because I can't listen to music while I'm reading.
I don't know. I listen to while I'm reading. It's an active part. Like, I'll put down my reading and actually listen to a song from.
I can't sit still.
Well,
did I say music?
Did I say still?
Creative movement.
Movement, whatever you want to call it. I like to move for sure.
You know, sometimes, let me just tell my experience. My experience growing up is that there was a formula
yes.
to your time with God. And so it was, you started with prayer, you invited the whole, mm-hmm. the sarcasm in my voice. You invite the Holy Spirit so that you can learn, and then you read your Bible, and then you close with prayer, and that's the formula.
That's what's considered time with God.
That's considered time with God.
And then you check it off.
And then
you check it off.
And I'm not, obviously, that's what I'm doing now. I mean, that is what I'm doing now. At the time, that is not what fed my soul.
Exactly.
What fed my soul 15, 20 years ago was music and music alone. That is what fed my soul. And so I filled myself with Christian music. So I think we have to be kind to ourselves
and to others.
In letting, allowing people to reach God. Yes, we need a Bible study. Obviously, that's where Jesus is. And that's not all. That's not the only place he's at.
Oh, for sure.
That you can find Jesus in the Louvre, in the beautiful art. You will find Jesus in the bush. That's what we call it in Canada.
In the woods.
In the woods.
Yes.
In Canada, we call it the bush. You will find Jesus there. So you will find Jesus when you're just sitting quietly on your porch.
So what makes a difference between finding Jesus on my porch and me just sitting on my porch?
Intentionality.
Mm.
What are you looking for? If I sit on the porch, I sat on your porch at Thanksgiving, but I was talking to people,
right.
I wasn't out there alone. But if I was out there alone, rocking and looking around at the flowers and the sky and thinking, wow, God just made beautiful things, then that's time with God.
And I agree with you. I think it so much is intentional. I can't say it. It's too big a word. Being intentional. Or looking for it. It's what we're trying to, looking for it, asking to see him. Speaking of asking for that, saying, Lord, I want to see you. Please help me see you. That he is going to show up.
He does. He shows up in the weirdest places sometimes, too.
Feels like there's a story.
Well, a bit of a story.
Okay, go for it.
Years and years ago, I was going through a struggle. And I prayed that God would help me stay on the straight and narrow path. And I saw this billboard that knocked me in the head. And I thought, okay, thank you. Here's your sign. You know that comedian goes, here's your sign.
Yes, yes, yes.
He gave me a sign. He gave me a real sign. And I'm like, thank you, Jesus. You know, seriously. Yeah. I mean, he shows up when you ask. He shows up.
Yeah.
Sometimes we have to sit still and wait. And it might not be showing up in the way we are looking for it to show up, but he always shows up.
Well, you know, because this, when you said we want to see Jesus, and then that, what you just said reminded me of when Moses was up on the mountain after getting the tablets,
mm-hmm.
he said, God, show me your glory.
Mm-hmm.
But God didn't show him his glory. He showed him his goodness.
Mm.
So he showed up, and he showed really what Moses needed to see was his goodness.
Mm. There you go. God knows what we need when we need it.
And it could be on a billboard.
We got to stop beating ourselves up.
Oh, do we ever?
Yeah. And if we say anything to anyone out there, stop it.
Put that stuff down.
Stop it. Stop beating yourself up, really. Yeah. Stop the I can't, I'm not good enough, I don't know how, I don't have time.
Mm-hmm. The shoulds.
The shoulds. I like that.
Stop shooting on yourself.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't going to go there. But.
We say that in therapy, okay? Mm-hmm. Stop shooting on yourself.
It's true.
But it's true. And then, and just, you know, so, okay, let me ask you, wise women, what is the just then after that? Do you know what I'm saying? Stop the shooting. And what is the, what's the replacement for that?
Remind yourself that you're a daughter of the King.
Mm.
That's what I'm working on, because I'm like, I can beat myself up big time.
Hmm.
But if I remember whose I am, then that helps. And I've got to keep reminding myself, because I forget.
And isn't part of this time with him, too, though, is also allowing him the time to also remind you of that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm saying? Yep. It's not just you reminding yourself, but him reminding you.
Oh, for
wait
sure.
Wait a minute, you're my girl.
Yeah.
Don't talk about my girl that way.
You're my old lady.
You're my old lady. That we are.
No, I'm
not. No, stop it. We're not going to get into that. Oh, that's hilarious.
I think that also... Just do, whatever. Don't should on yourself. Just do what feeds you.
Or whatever you can.
Whatever you can.
Yeah.
And whenever you can.
And whenever you can. It doesn't have to be in the morning. I like mornings. I'm a morning person.
Yeah.
That's why I like mornings.
Right.
But if you can't do it until, if you do it at lunchtime, do it at lunchtime. Mm-hmm. If you do it while you're, you know, after work while you're on the treadmill, then do it then. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And you know what? Sometimes when my kids text me and it's just a, hey, mom, I'm okay with that. And if that's all I can do with God is, hey, God, I remember you're there.
Thank you.
Then that's all I can do. And that's okay. And he's so okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's so okay with that.
Yeah.
He just wants a relationship with us.
Well, yeah.
And when we have a relationship with somebody, we want to spend time with them.
Mm-hmm.
We enjoy our time with them. When we don't, when we push them away, we're isolating and getting in a bad headspace, which I do all the time.
Well, I was just thinking maybe it's helpful to understand it from a standpoint of it just being that relationship and being in a relationship with him, and either in marriage relationships or in friend relationships or just whatever the relationships are, I don't know about you, but I often, because of being busy or other things, mm-hmm. you know, get away from being even just around people. And yeah. then it just becomes almost normal not being around people. Mm-hmm. But then if I do step outside of my comfort of not, do you know what I'm saying, and get back into society, as you would, then I was like, oh, wow, you know what? This isn't so bad. At mm-hmm. least I find myself in that way. And it's not that I think it's bad necessarily. Maybe I'm just talking in circles. But it's that I start forgetting how much I even need that, if that makes sense, just because that's I'm too good. Busy. Do you right. see what I'm mm-hmm. saying? And so, mm-hmm. and I get out of, when I get out of the habit or the practice of being in that, then I forget that I do need it. And I think in our, I think most of us experience that in friend and, you know, mm-hmm. marriage relationship. And then it's the same way with God, though. At least that's how mm-hmm. I found mm-hmm. it. You know, when I do get back into it and I'm mm-hmm. spending time with him, it's like, wow, you know.
Mm-hmm. I've missed this.
I yes. need this.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
I need this.
For sure.
During Christmas, we were, you know, traveling some. And so I wasn't doing my mm-hmm. usual schedule.
Yeah.
And I really missed it. So then I would read like double some, you know, since then I've been catching up on the YouVersion one I've been doing and the little journal I've been using, and I'm anxious to finish this book I'd been reading. Mm-hmm. So, but when I don't do it, I miss it.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things I told this to Tim yesterday, I get frustrated because that time in the morning is so rich and so precious mm-hmm. that I want to still have that at 7 o'clock at night when my day is over. And it just feels, it just seems like I'll have that time and it's wonderful, but then it doesn't carry through. Like, I know intellectually it carries mm-hmm. through, but it's like, I want more of that.
Yeah, because stuff happens.
Because life happens.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there's stresses and there's dishes and there's cat litter to clean and there's whatever it is. And
okay, so we just got done having 14 people at our house for Christmas for 8 days. 8 days. And
I would die. I would so die.
And let's just say there was a lot of lovely things about it. There were some very stressful times during that time, and there was a lot of cooking, a lot of, you know, doing dishes, and zero time for me to spend with Chris and or God mm-hmm. in my
right.
you know, this time.
Right,
but I was thinking when you were talking about that, you know, there is this, when you want to be in, when you want to be in relationship mm-hmm. and you really, really mm-hmm. miss that time, mm-hmm. but you know, you can have really good times and then it seems like, mm-hmm. you know, a day or two without, and it just, it feels so distant. And I remember mm-hmm. after everyone left, Chris and I sat on the couch and we were just quiet, and I reached over and I held his hand and we just sat there in quiet for a little while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was so sweet, but I realized just in that moment of reconnecting with him, mm-hmm. how foreign it felt to be connected to him. Do you know what I'm saying? And I felt connected to him a week earlier. Mm-hmm. Does that make, but because mm-hmm. of the, just the craziness mm-hmm. of life over a week's time, it was just like, you know, non-existent because we were going to bed at different times. And do you know what I'm saying?
That husband-wife relationship, that's such a great metaphor for our relationship with God, I think. The connectedness and, you know, sitting there and reaching out and holding his hand and just being still and having that special mm-hmm. moment you connected. That's
yeah.
That's kind of what we need to do with God.
Be still, know that I'm God.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
I love that.
So it doesn't have to be a big tra-la-la.
No.
What did you just do that again?
A big tra-la-la.
Sounded like tra-la-la to me.
That's what it was.
Sounds so French.
So, wait,
yeah.
So it's not, time with God doesn't have to be a big production.
No.
It doesn't have to be anything fancy. It can be, like we said earlier, just, I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to reach and I'm going to hold your hand and mm-hmm. we're not going to say anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
However, now that we've given ourselves grace in this space.
Yes.
Just as in a marriage relationship, because I agree that is, well, in any relationship, but if you don't ever have any time.
Yes.
The relationship greatly suffers.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
In fact, can completely
fall apart.
Fizzle. Fall apart. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so we're not saying, even though we're saying you can do it anywhere and anytime, we're not saying not have that, you know, not somehow have time. Do you know what I'm saying with him?
Right.
Not somehow being intentional.
Right.
And the glories of that. Okay, so for someone who does really want to, like, do a word study, really wants to make this something that they do regularly every single day. That's one of my, because I'll be honest with you, I am very much a in spurts kind of person.
Mm-hmm. I don't do it every day.
So it's
most days.
Not it's hard day. For me to, you know, it's not necessarily an every single day. It's not every day. Every day is not the same. I would say I'm spending time with God every day. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it's just music. Sometimes
right.
it's sitting
yes.
on my
okay,
porch.
That's a good way of putting it.
Sometimes
yes.
it's
yeah.
Bible study.
Right.
But Bible study has not been an every
right.
single day thing. But I'm wanting to be more in the habit of that, because I think habits are also important.
Mm-hmm.
So what, Beth, it is, I think, more of a habit for you, is it not?
Yeah, I think so.
And so what has helped you get in? Have you always had that habit? Or
no. I mean, okay. I started doing that, like I said, back that one summer. And I liked it so much. And I started learning so much that I just kept wanting to do it.
Hmm.
And so I think it has just become part of what I do. I really wouldn't want to go back to not ever doing something.
Mm-hmm.
Because it would be empty. Mm-hmm. And so I think just starting something, I mean, just do something. Like Nike says, just do it, you know, just do something. The way that the app that Proverbs 31 has, the first five app, started was Lisa Turker's daughter was away at college. She had never really shown an interest a whole lot in spiritual things on her own, but her mom saw a bit of a change in her, and she had started going to a church and getting involved in the youth group. And the mom asked her what was going on. She goes, you know, I've started just reading my Bible every morning for a few minutes. Mm-hmm. And so that's how the whole thing started, first five. So your first 5 minutes of the day, just give it 5 minutes.
Mm. Oh.
And so, you know, you
I
could.
Never knew that's what first five
I didn't
meant.
Either.
Mm-hmm.
No.
You could actually just read the teaching and the one verse that's mm-hmm. at the top. And that would take you 5 minutes. Or you could go a little deeper and
well,
read the whole chapter.
That's sort of answering what I was thinking, which is how do I, if I'm wanting to make it a habit, you know, where I'm doing it every single day, how does a person, do you know what I'm saying? Like, how mm-hmm. do you start that? How do you, you know, is there a good way of starting it, or how did you, but I guess you kind of just answer that with even just 5 minutes. I like that.
Yeah, 5 minutes. Have something in your bathroom first thing in the morning.
I was going to say that.
By the toilet?
Well, okay. All right. So up on the shelf in my bathroom is Annie F. Downs, 100 Days of Brave.
There you go.
And so I've read a few of those, you know, not 100 of them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's there. And if I think, oh, I'd really like to read Annie F. Downs, you know, I can pull it down.
Mm-hmm.
I have the bathtub there. I don't bring it in the shower, but in the bathtub I could read
yeah.
one or two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, you find those little moments where it's just 2 minutes,
mm-hmm.
5 minutes.
So on this podcast, talking about joy in the weeds, joy in weeds, both two things.
She's
the same
joy,
time.
I'm the weeds.
Stop it. So not true.
I'm a flower.
Yes, you are.
F-L-O-W-E-R, not F-L-O-U-R.
That's so
keep
nice.
Me out of the
fantastic.
Kitchen.
Is so good. Okay, but how has, or or does God, your time with God, like, how does it change, or does it change when you're struggling, if you're in the weeds, or if you're in a period of joy? Or does it, do you see any direct correlation between either how you get through those times, or does it impact even what times you have?
For me, I think it impacts it. It doesn't keep me from having struggles, for sure. There's, you know, life is hard.
Yeah.
But I think it gives me a way to start my day out in the best way possible. If I'm going through a struggle, I couldn't start it out any better than that. So it might help me think, okay, Beth, you need to have an attitude of gratitude, or you need to find something to be thankful for today. And so, you know, I tell myself that, and it helps to then have that quiet time. Doesn't fix it, but it helps.
What about you, Kim?
I'm just making a face. Sorry. You know I love you.
I really
have
wish.
Have an attitude of gratitude. Like, just let me throw up and let me go find a lament, and I will read Lamentations, and I will wallow in it for a minute, and then I will get on with my day.
Well, you see,
thank you very much.
Sometimes Beth has a bad attitude. Beth Anderson. So Beth Anderson has to tell herself, okay, let's have an attitude of gratitude. Let's bring out that positivity strength that you have for others and have it for yourself.
You know, it's right smack in the middle of Lamentations, don't you?
Yes. Yeah. Your mercies are new every morning. I know.
There's some gratitude. No, seriously. I have a John Maxwell agenda. And so you're supposed to put 5 things that you're going to do every day. And one of my things is to have an attitude of gratitude, because sometimes I have to remind myself.
You are a good woman.
I am such a good person,
aren't
I?
Such a good woman. Because I do not do that. Neither do I care to do that. I have no desire to list my gratitudes. Like,
well, I don't list them. I don't list them.
Right now, I really wish people could see our facial expressions. It would be so helpful.
Keeping it real.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, though, I do, sorry, Kim, but I do really, really believe that a huge component of being able to have joy, even in the midst of the weeds, is to be able to have that attitude of gratitude.
Attitude of gratitude. She's kicking me under the table.
I am not.
I should get her a bowl.
Well, I just have to tell you, okay. So, for those of you who are listening, and for Beth, who, when I came here, Beth Grissom has a doormat that says joy. So I walk up to the door and I see that it says joy. And so I rang the doorbell and she came to the door and I said, I think I need a doormat that says weeds.
That's good.
Yeah. I'm really not that miserable.
No,
I'm not an Eeyore. I'm really not.
No, she's
not at all.
When I hear that, it just sounds
cliche,
and that you're not allowed to be in a bad place.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I hear. So it's totally my own experience with that.
Okay, Miss Weeds, how then does your time with God impact you in your weeds or in times of joy? Like, how does it, or does it?
Well, I'm sure it does. Now I'm gonna have to think about that. I just feel like I'm always in the weeds. I really do.
What would it look like to have an attitude of gratitude?
Oh, merciful heavens, God save my soul. Okay, this is what is coming to my brain.
Yeah.
Because when we first moved to Statesville, which was about 8 years ago, Tim was, he was getting his own churches. So we first, and I gave up a lot when we left the Asheville, Hendersonville area. I gave up a really good private practice. I gave up something that I loved, which was teaching psychology, one semester at Fletcher and one semester at Mount Pisgah Academy in our Adventist academies there. I gave that up. There was a huge loss for me. In the midst of all that, I started Beth Moore's Bible study, because this is when I wasn't doing it on my own. I needed some help on the Psalms of Ascent.
Oh.
And I don't even remember the details of what I learned. What I took from that is God is with me.
Mm-hmm.
I was clinically depressed. I know that I was clinically depressed when I'm in the closet of my daughter's closet and I'm painting it. And literally my thoughts are, I think Tim would just be better if I wasn't here because I'm such a downer.
Mm-hmm.
But in that time, it was really, really hard. And what I got out of that was, I am walking the steps. And those steps take me to Jesus.
Mm.
And he is here. So I guess we could turn that into an attitude of gratitude, because Jesus is there and that's the gratitude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's really my time, whether it's the weeds or it's the joy or it's something in or it's the anger, whatever it is, I just want to be with Jesus.
And thank you for giving us permission to have those other feelings too. You know, that's important. We need to be kind to ourselves.
Because mm-hmm. like you said earlier, life is hard.
It is.
And it's beautiful.
And it's, I was going to say.
It is, though. It is.
Not like the,
mm-hmm.
It is yeah. beautiful. Because yeah. right now it is raining outside. But if you look at the lush green
mm-hmm.
compared to the gray of the sky,
mm-hmm.
it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, we said the topic today was just going to be about time with God. And I think just... it's beautiful to just think that in the midst of our struggle, weeds, or joy, or, you know.
Or the mundane.
Or the mm-hmm. mundane,
mm-hmm.
right?
Sometimes life is like that, too.
Yes, that with him is the goal.
Hmm.
Well, isn't that the whole goal of the Bible?
Well, but yes.
I mean, really?
Yes, but honestly... But I have to tell you, you know, I often thought or have felt like maybe the goal was I need to be more informed, more well-read.
Mm.
The goal was to be better behaving.
Mm.
Why'd she look at me?
Because I could relate, because I'm speaking of myself. But you know what I'm saying? Like the goal,
yeah.
The goal is... in time with God is to be with him.
Yeah.
And that he's with us.
Drop the mic. Seriously.
Yeah.
There's no other
that's
thing.
It.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. We're real people with phones.
And in reality, that's all he wants too.
Right.
Because that's what we had in the beginning. And then we lost the true withness of
him. I have
him.
To tell you, just saying that just made me tear up, because thinking about... the fact, it's one thing to think about all we need is to be with him. Do you know what I'm saying? Or that's the whole goal is to be with him. But to think that his whole goal is just to
be
with
us.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, that's the key.
That's what we just came out of the Christmas season. This may not air at the Christmas season, but we just came out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Emmanuel, God with us.
Yeah.
Because Jesus needed to show us
what
God with us really looked like. And then one day, we're going to go back to that paradise, which is not, like you and I were talking earlier, it's not streets of gold. It's not that I can ride on a lion. It's not that the lion and the lamb are going to eat grass beside each other.
Right.
It's that I'm going to be in
with
perfect,
him.
there's that word.
Yeah.
In perfect relationship with Jesus.
With him.
Which is what my soul.
And as glorious as it sounds to us to think that he yearns infinitely more to be with us. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's his yearning.
Yeah.
So to anyone out there, do you know what I'm saying? If you're questioning that, God is wanting to be with you. And all he's saying is, please, but he's not going to force himself.
Never. We,
you know, I think that's so, it's so key to who he is and his character, that the importance of us taking time to be with him or to be intentional, if it's on the porch or like we've been talking, you know, on the car or studying.
I'm not sure I'd go on the car. Am I going in the car?
Sorry. I'm kind of losing my mind here. But that is, that no matter what it is, that really what he's yearning for is for us just to say, Lord, I want to be with you. Mm-hmm. And if we're willing to, in any way, even if in the tiniest way, say that, then he will be there. And that will, you know, that will be the whole point. All right, you both are
you
looking
bet.
Up things.
You go, Beth.
No, I've got to find it.
I've got
to find it.
Because this is the end.
It would be funny if we were both looking for the same verse.
Because I'm going to Revelation, and you're okay. In the middle somewhere.
Okay.
It's a new Bible. You have to get there.
I don't know if I'll be able to find it anyway.
Well, while you layers are looking for that, I want to ask, because this is something that's been very important to me, so I'm just curious. We all talked about how this has kind of been a relatively new phenomenon in our lives on a regular basis. But for me, a lot of trying to do it right was very crippling for me because I don't think like people that I had watched and seen and thought that they did it right. In other words, if I tried to emulate and do my quiet time the way Beth does her quiet time, I would always fall short. Does that make sense? But, and so anyway, but for me, so I'm curious, for me, a big transition for me was how I treat my Bible. And what I mean by that is how I use it and study it and write in it and underline in it. So I'm curious because mine is a mess and I love it. It's a glorious mess. And, but having the freedom to do that, like to be willing to say, you know what, I don't have to do it like everybody else, was a big deal for me. So I'm just curious, how are you about how you study with your Bible? Like, do you underline a lot? Do you write in it a lot? Do you have a certain way you do that, or are you just kind of freeform it?
I need to have a better way of organizing things, but I underline.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I love you.
It's my personality.
I just love you.
But I'll often put a note of a date or a book title or a speaker beside something or something that is going on at the time in there. So, but the one that I wanted to share when you were talking about wanting to spend, he wants to spend time with us. I love Zephaniah 3:17.
Oh, yes.
For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs.
Yeah.
And that's not quiet rejoicing, just for the record. That is some loud singing and some twirling and some, dare I say, dancing. Mm. That is what the Lord is doing.
It's happy.
It's so happy. Mm-hmm. It's a loud woo-hoo.
Hands raising happy.
Joy-filled.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead, Kim.
Well,
wanted to read one.
Well, I was, when I think about God with us, here I am in Revelation 21, and that says in verse 3, then I heard a loud voice from the throne, look, God's dwelling is with humanity, and he will live with them, and they will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Mm-hmm. That's what it's all about.
Give us that scripture again, the reference.
Revelation 21:3.
21:3. Thank you. I was looking up 3:21.
I think that's it. Stand at the door and knock, which is the same thing, is it not?
Yeah.
3:20 and 21. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, let him open the door, and I will come in and be with him. Mm-hmm. That mean that he's going to have supper with him, but it's, I'm not going to clean up your house. I just. Tim likes to say he just takes the mess up and he just throws everything off the table and he says, let's have pizza. That's what Jesus does.
Can I tell you, I think this is so beautiful because when, you know, I knew that I wanted us to talk about this subject, but at first I thought, okay, devotional time. you know, and mm-hmm. I don't know if I want it. Like, that seemed a little narrow. Do you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? And I kept trying to come up with, like, what do we say it is? Do you know what I'm saying? And then I mean, really, it's just time with God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And put it down and didn't think about it. But look, like, the whole, mm-hmm. it all comes, like Beth mm-hmm. said, drop mic, it all comes mm-hmm. down to with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Him wanting, yearning to be mm-hmm. with us, us needing to be with him. And mm-hmm. it is just simply time with God.
There you go.
And however that is. Okay. Anything else? Anything you want to say, Beth, that we didn't let you say or ask, or any question you want to?
Just thank you.
Thank you.
I'll make it all teary.
No,
I have no idea.
You two were two of my favorite people, so thank you. This meant a lot.
It meant the world to us. You have no idea. Just, yeah.
Yeah. We're all going to sit here. We're all going to sigh and go, yeah, this has been really good.
Well, it really has. So, not to get too far off topic, but, in Sabbath school recently, we were studying Ephesians, and we were studying the armor of God, and we got to the shield and the idea that is like a big door shield, and it really is best used in battle when they are together.
Yes, because
the way they do it, and it's hard to use without being able to show picture, but an entire infantry could move like a fort
mm-hmm.
because they would hold their shields in front and along mm-hmm. the sides mm-hmm. and above them and create basically a complete
mm-hmm.
fort, and then they could move mm-hmm. and they were impenetrable by the arrows and other things too, like even chariots and things like that. So but what was really profoundly beautiful to me was the importance then of the community of faith,
mm-hmm.
because it needed to be someone who comes alongside you who also has that shield of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what I'm saying? Like, and just standing out in the middle of a field with your big old shield, I mean, it's something,
mm-hmm.
but it's not nearly as important as the community. And mm-hmm. so
that sounds like another podcast episode.
Yeah, it does.
But that's just the joy of having you ladies in my life, is just, you know,
mm-hmm.
other people with that shield of faith to kind of. My chair is really squeaky. I don't know if that's going to be picked up, but it's hilarious. It keeps squeaking. They might choose to edit that out. Okay, we want to add here, we always want to end with a question in the last 24 hours.
You ready?
What has brought you joy, laughter, or a smile in the last 24 hours? Joy, laughter, or a smile?
In the last 24 hours? Mm-hmm. Oh. Videos of my granddaughters.
Hmm.
Yeah.
They are so cute.
Katie, my daughter-in-law, sent a video of little Aubrey, 8-month-old Aubrey, laying on the floor, and 2-year-old Felicity going, tickle, tickle, tickle. Oh, and it was just sweet. Precious.
That
brought me joy.
That really was. All right, Kim, for you.
Actually listening to That Sounds Fun podcast on the way here, I laughed so much. I laughed and laughed and laughed, and I do not laugh nearly enough. No, that's not true. And yeah, so it was really good. So that brought me laughter. What about you?
Well, this is going to sound very introverted for me, but it's been quite a season. So, last night and this morning, I spent some time playing a game on my phone.
There you go.
And I mean, I don't do that very often. It's very rare, but mm-hmm. somehow it was,
mm-hmm.
it was mindless in a very joy-producing way.
There you go.
Really? And
good
it was
for you.
Good
know,
for you.
I mean, I
good for
not
you.
What we usually think of, good we think of joy, but it was awesome.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We would really love to hear from you, so please find us. We're on Facebook and Instagram. Just search for Joy in the Weeds. You can also email us. Our email address is joy@carolinasda.org. That's joy@carolinasda.org. Now, we hope that today, as you navigate the weeds, you will also hold on to moments of joy.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.